Imagine living your entire life underground, believing the world outside was a toxic wasteland, only to discover it might all be a lie. In the underground silo where humanity's last survivors dwell, Mayor Juliet Nichols operates an excavator against concrete walls, her arms shaking with exhaustion as she battles through layers of concrete and rebar. She's driven by unwavering determination to reach Solo and children trapped in another silo. After 72 hours of continuous drilling, the breakthrough reveals something extraordinary, an enormous machine designed for massive excavation projects. "This thing is meant to dig its own way out," Juliet announces, her voice carrying over humming generators. This dig represents more than physical breakthrough. It shatters boundaries confining their society for generations. Resistance grows with each foot of progress. Priests hold extra services, warning that their actions will bring toxic dust flooding in. Her partner Lucas pleads for caution. "You aim too far." Her response, says the man who watches the stars, captures their deep connection and the tension between safety and discovery. What makes this dig so powerful is how it symbolizes humanity's eternal struggle against imposed limitations. Like prisoners digging an escape tunnel, breaking through concrete becomes symbolic of breaking through mental barriers that have kept inhabitants complacent for generations. The question hanging over every shovelful becomes increasingly urgent. What if everything they've been told about the world is a carefully constructed lie? In Silo 17, Jimmy Parker, known to himself as Solo, faces change after decades of solitude. Having survived alone since childhood when his silo's population mysteriously died, he now cares for children born to the few survivors. Young Elise helps Jimmy confront his fears about newcomers, revealing isolation's psychological toll. The 144-level spiral structure shapes existence in these underground cylinders. Upper levels house IT and administration, middle contains apartments and markets, while lower depths hold mechanical, supply, and farms, creating natural stratification between uppies and those from down deep. Resources are rationed, berths controlled through lotteries, and outside knowledge limited. The cleaning ritual serves as both punishment and ceremony. What makes this world compelling is how its social hierarchies, information control, and compliance-reinforcing institutions mirror our own society. Each silo believes itself humanity's last outpost, creating a powerful metaphor for how limited perspective shapes our understanding of reality. "I've been outside," Juliet declares at a town hall meeting, "and everything they've told us is a lie." This exchange perfectly captures the tension between comfortable deception and uncomfortable truth. During her second journey outside, Juliet collects samples, including from a long-dead cleaner. Her discovery hits like a wrench to the skull. The deterioration comes from the airlock itself, not the outside. The cleaning ritual that maintained their fear for generations was a deception. In Silo 1, Donald and Charlotte discover nanobots designed to protect humanity are actually being released with each cleaning, maintaining the toxic environment. "I am an ancient. I did this," Donald cries. Juliet's father notices another anomaly. Corpses that should be decades old appear only weeks old. Connecting to other mysteries like multiple sets of twins, unusual healing abilities, and Juliet's survival of seemingly fatal situations. Behind the visible silos lies a concealed power structure in Silo 1, where pre-apocalypse men periodically awaken from cryosleep to maintain a military hierarchy. Thurman, a frail elderly man at the top, demonstrates shocking cruelty despite his age, with authority stemming from mysterious ranking printouts near 99.9%. The control system operates through interconnected technology. Juliet discovers power cables beneath server rooms, revealing Silo 1 powers other facilities while seemingly plotting their destruction. These servers monitor silo life and manipulate lotteries according to some predetermined plan. Religion functions as another control mechanism. In Silo 17, Father Remy establishes an order that manipulates young Elise and subjects women to crude surgeries, showing how religious authority becomes weaponized during crisis. Most chilling is the revelation that the system appears designed to produce just one surviving community, treating thousands of human lives as expendable experiments. The destruction of Silo 18 unfolds with horrifying inevitability after Thurman orders it shut down following Juliet's discoveries. White mist descends the stairwell as people flee upward, bodies tumbling over railings, mirroring Solo's account of Silo 17's fall decades earlier. Amid heavy nosebleeds, Lucas makes a desperate radio call. Juliet directs survivors to evacuate through the dig tunnel to Silo 17. Shirley coordinates the evacuation, knocks Juliet unconscious when she volunteers to stay behind, and later sacrifices herself to seal the tunnel after an explosion. Survivors flood into the rusted Silo 17, creating a refugee crisis. Jimmy watches apprehensively as strangers explore his quiet world while children cling to him, feeling a frightened youth again, emerging from shadows into a bright, crowded, noisy world. The aftermath reveals civilization's fragility. Farms are stripped bare, conflicts erupt over resources, and religious extremism flourishes under Father Remy, who forces women into crude procedures and claims 7-year-old Elise as a wife. As chaos engulfs Silo 17, Juliet formulates a daring plan. She'll travel alone overland to Silo 1 with explosives to open that motherfucker like a soup can and confront those responsible for the toxic world. Her mission blends vengeance with preventing further silo destruction. In Silo 1, Charlotte disguises herself as Stan, a male mechanic, to move freely and steal communication equipment. Her drone flight confirms their suspicion. The world isn't gone, just our piece of it. The toxic wasteland is localized, not global. Donald discovers nanobots maintaining the toxic environment, while Charlotte finds a map showing red lines radiating from silos toward a location marked Seed, suggesting an unknown greater purpose. Both Juliet's explosive mission and Donald's plan to bomb the control server's reactor represent different approaches to the same problem. Their rebellions are powerful because they're evidence-driven, fighting against specific lies rather than abstract authority. Juliet and her companions emerge from the dust wall into a vibrant world of blue skies, green grass, and white clouds. The world outside is beautiful, transforming their understanding of reality. They discover a concrete tower containing supplies and seeds, evidence of a planned exodus. The group debates whether to stay or journey toward water, with Elise suggesting they follow her memory book maps. When Charlotte from Silo 1 collapses, Juliet welcomes her without resentment, inviting her to join their second chance, breaking the cycle of vengeance that perpetuated past conflicts. Around a campfire, survivors adapt to their new environment, hearing unfamiliar animal sounds and consulting books about forgotten creatures. Watching stars, Juliet thinks of Lucas, determined to reach water, plant seeds, and build above ground. When Courtney asks if they'll make it, Juliet affirms, "I think we can make any damn thing we like," capturing their shift from limitation to possibility. The conclusion balances hope with acknowledgement of loss, as survivors carry memories of thousands who died while moving forward with seeds of renewal.